Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino. Let's get right to the headlines. Today was happy birthday for who?
Well, James, we are recording Tuesday night, and I think we got about an hour left on Tuesday as we're recording. So it's happy birthday to the great Stephen Sondheim and the also great Andrew Lloyd Webber. Tuesday marked the birthday of both musical theater legends. Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber turned 68. Stephen Sondheim turned 86. Though the two have written kind of different styles of musicals over their careers and had a fairly professional rivalry, in 1998 they combined for a tongue-in-cheek Dueling Pianos performance in honor of Cameron McIntosh, who has worked with both writers. So that's been up all over Twitter today. So I would, you know, get yourself a little Sondheim and Lloyd Webber magic and go watch that Dueling Pianos performance in honor of their birthdays.
We have to get that link going. Do you think maybe that Andrew Lloyd Webber gave Stephen Sondheim a copy of Starlight Express for his birthday?
I would highly doubt that they exchanged pleasantries or even gifts, but who knows? It stranger things have happened.
All right.
Not many, but a few.
Something strange that has happened is that there was news out of Shuffle Along today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we mentioned when we talked about the grosses yesterday that they did really well in their first six performances in previews last week, but on Monday night and then again on Tuesday night, they actually had to cancel performances. No official explanation was given, but the reports are that leading lady Audra McDonald is sick, and because it is just over a week into the preview process, understudies and standbys haven't had enough time to rehearse yet. So hopefully the six-time Tony winner feels well enough to go in for the show on Wednesday. And if not, we'll probably be sitting there dark until she's better, because at this point, there's really not another option. James, you didn't get her sick, did you?
Not unless she can get it from me kissing my television screen.
I'm going to leave that one alone and go on to the next story.
Is that too creepy? Should we edit that out?
Well, does your wife listen to the show?
Nah.
Okay, then we're fine.
Okay. So in the openings, what's happening?
Tuesday marked the first Broadway performance of the new play, The Father, which is presented by the Manhattan Theater Club. It stars Frank Langella and Catherine Irby, and it's playing over at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. Opening night is scheduled for April 14th, and the limited run concludes on June 12th. We talked about it last week with a little bit of a cast switch at the last minute, so we'll see how these first few previews go, but anytime Frank Langella returns to a Broadway stage, that's always a good thing. And then last night, Tuesday night, the new Sarah Burgess play Dry Powder had its opening night at the Public Theater. It stars Claire Danes, John Krasinski, Hank Azaria, and Sanjit De Silva. And the play is directed by kind of the king of Broadway directing right now, Thomas Kail. The show has already been extended until May 1st, and it's a thriller set in the high-stakes private equity firm world, kind of like Billions on Showtime and The Big Short from the Academy Awards this past year. The reviews have been good to mixed. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times said that Dry Powder takes a long time to move beyond mildly entertaining verbal fisticuffs between Jenny and Seth. That's Danes and Krasinski's characters. Adam Feldman of Time Out New York says Krasinski's signature affability sets us squarely on Seth's sides at the start. Occasional hints of awkwardness in his stage debut might even work in his favor, and stands in stark contrast to Danes' satirically icy character. So it has its detractors, but again, with star power like this, this is definitely one that the public feels, not only the public theater, but the public feels like this is one that they want to go and check out, as it's already been extended into the 1st of May.
I was Matt and I were talking offline the other day that I had missed the RSVP date for getting a ticket, but the public has gotten me in one seat.
Oh, good.
One seat. Next week. So I'll let you know on this week on Broadway what I thought about it.
Looking forward to it.
In the closing section, what else is happening?
Tuesday, the Tony-winning play The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime announced that it would be closing on September 4th, the day after Labor Day, which is kind of the traditional end of Broadway's busy summer season. And actually, in a nice little bit of coincidence that I think would please the lead character, Christopher. Assuming nothing happens between now and then, the show will close. Having played exactly 800 regular performances, I feel like Christopher would like that round, round 800 number. So. The play is already the longest running play on Broadway in the past decade and will launch a national tour later this year. I read this book when it came out years ago, so I'm really excited for this tour to swing through Orlando later this year.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh,
I have not seen it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Really wonder, and 800 makes me feel so much better. We talked last night a little bit about Tommy Tune, and more news in the news for Tommy Tune today.
We did. We talked about Tommy Tune kind of returning to his directorial roots, taking on Barbara Cook's new off-Broadway show. And today, it was announced that he's signed with a new talent agency and is at work at on a top-secret new musical. Our friends over at Deadline broke the story, and I'm gonna quote them just in case there's any clues in this little phrase that I didn't pick up on. But Deadline writer Jeremy Gerard wrote that Tommy Tune is hard at work with a Tony-winning playwright on a musical adaptation of a best-selling novel and major film set in, well, let's call it the world's fastest-growing film market. James, do you have any ideas what that might be?
Bollywood.
Ooh, that's good. I went in a completely different direction that would not be appropriate for the Broadway stage, so Bollywood seems like a much better guess to me.
Yeah, you know, we had Tommy Tune on This Week on Broadway
a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago. I should have looked it up. And Tommy is doing his one-man show, just did a couple of weeks at the Carlisle to cover for Cheetah when she was out recovering from an injury. And he's touring around the United States doing his show. Plus, he's going to Japan to do Grand Hotel, restaging in Japan. And we just missed this. We might... I'll see if we can get a quick phoner in with him to see if there's anything interesting here.
Yeah, I feel like I should re-listen to that interview just to see if he dropped any hints that we didn't pick up on at the time.
Yeah. So, we did that. We interviewed Seth Rudetsky the day that the disaster Broadway contracts were being signed, and he couldn't say anything. And when you go back and listen to the interview after the fact, you're like, oh, I got it all now. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So Broadway backwards.
Yeah, you mentioned Cheetah Rivera, and she plays into this story very nicely. She's all healed up. But on Monday night, a whole host of Broadway stars fronted a 67-person cast at this year's Broadway Backwards. If you're unfamiliar with the concert's concept, it male stars sing traditionally female musical show tunes and vice versa, and it offers the audience a chance to see LGBT stories told through the great songs of the musical theater. Tony winner Julie White hosted, and performers included Cheetah Rivera, who sang All I Care About Is Love from Chicago. Wayne Brady sang Let's Hear It for the Boy from Footloose. Kathleen Turner made an appearance. Lynn Cariou performed. Krista Rodriguez, Tony Yazbek, Beth Malone, Leslie Margarita, Titus Burgess, and many, many more. And the big news that came out is that in total, the concert raised $480,287, which is a record, and all of that money goes to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS and the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center in New York City. So congratulations to everybody who performed, everybody who went to Broadway Backwards, and that's a really nice feather in the cap for the Broadway community to be able to do that every year.
I tell you, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS just knocks them out of the park. Every time they touch something, it's awesome. Yeah.
They do great work.
Not in our rundown, Matt. Let's freestyle here. Okay. I'm noticing that Riedel has posted a new column that Edward Albee gets on the wall at Sardi's. And so a few months ago, while launching at Sardi's, Broadway press agent Sam Rudy looked around at the characters of theater people lining the walls and wondered if there was one of his longtime client, Edward Albee. So we will have a link to that in the show notes if you must stay up with the Riedel. We'll have that in todayonbroadway.com to check it out.
Yeah, he's really screwing me up with his schedule. He's not keeping a consistent schedule with Riedel over at the Post. So hopefully Edward Albee's caricature is better than some of the most recent ones at Sardi's that look very little to nothing like the people they're supposed to be. So hopefully this one is a better representation.
Excellent. So Matt, get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. I'm Matt Taman, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And don't forget to subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino at BroadwayStars.com and BroadwayRadio.com, and I'm very sick, so send me medicine. Talk to you tomorrow.